What is going on, internet? Thank you for joining our Friday live stream. My name is Wallace Santos, CEO and founder from Angular Computers, and I'm with
Ron Reed, marketing director, and welcome to On the Bench. This is our weekly live stream where we talk about the latest in tech, PC hardware, gaming, whatever we're interested in. And thank you all for tuning in. Just so you guys know, we do watch chat, so if you have any questions, feel free to ask. And thank you for to NVIDIA for powering this live stream. We got a bunch of boxes on the table that I am excited about.
A lot of goodness this week, right? So we have shipments of GTX 2080 Ti, or I'm sorry, big mistake, RTX 2080 Ti's.
I don't know if that's ever going to feel...
I just by default, okay. I always think G, but it's really an R.
It's going to take years to retrain, like not just only saying GTX.
I think you just need one at home.
You'll
You'll remember real fast.
I think you're right.
And we have the brand new Intel Core i9-9900K in this beautiful box here. As you can see there you go. There's a little bit of glare. Let me correct that. Which we want to do a live unboxing with you guys. Just show you how it feels to unbox these two products, these two premium products. They go very well with each other, of course. Yep. If you're building a system, consider RTX and consider the new Core i9.
Yeah, and you guys can ask about anything. We'll do our best to ask them during the stream, but we may hold off to some things until we get to a Q&A portion.
That's right.
So it's hardware launch week. So we'll kind of just jump straight in to what's out this week. So we'll kind of save the 9900K because I want to talk about.
Ooh, I wanted to do it first.
I want to talk about some performance numbers first. But I wanted to make a quick announcement. So the RTX 2070 is now available on our website. So the 2070 was announced back when the whole RTX lineup was announced, but it was kind of staggered, right? So we got the 2080
release, yep.
And the 2080 Ti came out first. But the 2070 is here. We have performance numbers that we can kind of talk about very quickly, and you can actually buy it. So if you go to maingear.com right now, and all of our configurators have the 2070 available, starting with our Vibe all the way up to our F131 and Rush. We do have a promo currently. We have our Halloween sale, so you can save up to $1,000. But I wanted to just briefly talk about the performance of the 2070 and where it kind of fits into NVIDIA's product stack, basically.
Yeah, somebody just literally asked that question here. Performance versus price comparison compares to the GTX 1080 Ti.
So it's not a... Okay.
It's not a Ti replacement.
It's not a Ti replacement.
It's a 1080 replacement.
It's definitely a 1080 replacement.
Yep.
So, and we won't talk about very specific, I'm not going to go over 40 benchmarks.
Yeah, there are dedicated websites, just go to PCPro.com, hothardware.com.
They did a great review.
Yeah, and these are just, there's a lot of legitreviews.com. There's great sites that are covering it, the product in depth, and it'll tell you exactly where it sits, yep, in the performance.
But we're looking at roughly 10% better than a GTX 1080. Mm-hmm. Plus, you get all of the RTX goodness that you get out of the other cards, right?
Yeah, ray tracing, baby.
Exactly. So you get the...
You can play all your ray tracing games on.
You get the... soon.
No, actually, soon. It's... in a couple of days, there will be a patch. Right.
Was that announced? I didn't actually see that.
Maybe I'm prematurely speaking. I probably shouldn't talk about it. But there are a handful of titles coming out soon, or actually patches coming out soon for a handful of titles. So expect the ray tracing goodness to.
Yeah, but basically, so available. I think where this card kind of stands, if you look at NVIDIA's lineup, it's really the 1440p. Graphics card. So if you're playing on a 1440p monitor, this is going to be probably the perfect card for you. You get excellent performance. It's priced well, so it's starts at $499. Mm-hmm. And you get better performance than the 1080 and RTX. So I think it's probably going to be the most volume popular card, yep, in the RTX lineup just because of where it's priced and where the kind of performance stats, but we kind of have the full RTX lineup up, which I'm excited about. I know a lot of people have been asking us directly because I'm like 4 feet away from the microphone. Because, you know, at that sweet spot, like something like a $2,000 PC build, which is like probably one of the more common price points that people go with like a i7 or maybe even an i9 processor now.
Yeah. What's interesting is that I actually don't mind that NVIDIA took off SLI from the 2070.
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit less confusing. So if you're, you know, if you think about it, the theory, right? Like if you're gonna go SLI, you're probably gonna just buy the 2080.
We never recommended SLI unless you were SLIing the best car that you could buy.
That's right. That's when SLI makes sense. So it's a little bit less confusing. And some people are saying, oh, what if I own the 2070 and I want to pop a second one in? Then you should probably just, you know, sell that one and then get upgrades to the next version from there, right?
But, I agree.
It makes more sense.
Yeah, I would say SLI is definitely, like, the scaling has been really great recently because of the changes they made. But it also allows them to really focus on the people that are going to be using it the most,
yeah,
and making that more efficient. We've talked about this before on stream, but it's like very intensive to optimize these games and the architecture to like scale correctly across so many cards.
I want to call out this guy here, Stefano Pena. Pascal is the only reasonable way to go. I disagree, right? And here's why, right? If you're investing into a brand new computer right today, why wouldn't you spend an extra $100 and get the latest and greatest, which will last you longer, right? So it's actually a better investment than Pascal. So that's my take. It's my opinion, right? But I'm reading your comments, so there you go. Call you out, baby.
No, it makes more sense to get the card that's the most capable currently. I totally agree with you.
If I'm building or purchasing a new computer today, I'm gonna buy the latest and greatest. I'm not gonna buy the older chipsets. I'm not gonna buy the older GPUs because I want my computer to last longer, right? So it's actually a great time to buy now the latest and greatest because you know your PC will be more relevant for longer.
It always makes me feel better when I buy.
Right. I mean, if you buy a PC today with older technology, unless you get a great deal, of course.
Yeah.
Right. And you're in a budget, then obviously buy what you can afford. But just, you know, a vague comment like that stating that it's the only way to go, I thoroughly disagree with you.
The other thing that I would kind of point out that we haven't really seen yet that didn't get as much coverage as you would expect is really DLSS, I think, may become a huge game changer over the next, like, year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody's factoring that into what the performance potentially could be. Because that's not even – DLSS is not, like – it's not like as specific as ray tracing where, you know, a developer's really going to have to code like ray tracing in. Like, I think you'll see much more DLSS adoption like across the board in new games. And that has the potential to make the performance delta between previous gen and the current gen much higher.
Yeah, I don't think people understand that yet, right? So,
and I understand it. It's not out.
From a raw perf standpoint, it's already, on average 30 to 40% faster, right? But then once you get DLSS turned on or enabled in games, now that jump will be significant, yeah, right? So just there's a lot of cool technology in it. So there you go. But you know, it's really not about the RTX day to day. It's really about
this
bad boy right here. So let's
of a box that you have.
Let's really talk about this box. Can I unbox? When can I unbox it, Ron? Tell me. Give me the permission to unbox
it. So I think we're probably just going to sit here in silence and let people look at it for it. No. So so this is available right now on our website. So the 9900K, the new 8-core Intel first consumer, or not consumer, but first mainstream i9 CPU. So 8 cores, 16 threads, monster performance. We'll talk about the performance afterwards. But let's... you actually haven't. So we get when we do our testing and stuff. We don't get usually CPUs in like retail packages.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just so you guys can understand, because we are a strategic partner with pretty much every silicon manufacturer in the world. We get this stuff early, right? Unfortunately, we can't talk about it because we're under NDAs. But we will get this CPU, basically an engineering sample in a tray, and it's just a bare CPU, so we don't get to see the full out of box experience until day of, right?
Yep.
which is pretty cool. So we have perf numbers. We have we're basically testing it for compatibility. Testing boards, looking for bugs, reporting bugs back to Intel and the board manufacturers. And that's one of the reasons why our products are so good, because we're actually doing, we're not experimenting with the customer's PC. We've built plenty of these already.
Chat is asking me to move my mic down because they can't
see your mic down.
They can't see my beard in all of its glory.
Is that better, look guys? That is great looking. I love the redness.
Okay, so what I will say is, I guess there's an audio issue maybe, Brent, on YouTube. Okay. So I will say that the one thing that I will say right away is that I like this packaging way more in person than I originally thought in the photos. Like, it feels really good.
Well, I mean, good on Intel for designing something unique. And I think it's a great first try for uniqueness,
for a different right. kind
the
of
the most creative. There you go. They gave us the most creative for our PCs. So I'm going to give you the most creative for your packaging. All right, put it that way. But
you're going to make me turn red.
While it's really cool, I would like to see in the future versions something a little bit more significant, right? So meaning maybe, if they put so much thought into it, maybe there's like an LCD display in it or something, and it's USB powered. Cool.
You know what, right? I wish it did, and I was like secretly hoping, was that it was going to be like the NUC box and made the Intel chime when you opened it up. I think I've told this story before in stream, but I have a NUC at home, and I put the box in my closet. And it's a light sensor.
It's a light sensor in there, yeah.
And so every time I open the closet in my bedroom,
you hear the bong.
I hear the Intel chime. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. In the morning, bong, bong, bong.
Yep, yeah. It's been like years of it. Yeah. And I laugh every single time. I kind of wish. But let's see if you can figure out how to open the box.
Hey, Stefano, you should probably buy a computer from 5 years ago. That would be a great bargain for you. He's saying it's the 9900K is a cash grab.
We'll talk about the performance after we unbox it.
Or we should make Stefano. We should put him on the live. Maybe he can do the stream and talk about it. But anyway, let's move on forward here. Should I unbox it now?
Yeah, let's open it up.
Let me close this up here.
Kind of go through the actual. Yeah.
There you go. Jesus loves you.
So we'll probably we might be able to switch to the close-up cam for this.
So let's do that.
Let's see how comfortable.
Let me move this out because I don't want to lose the chat here. So there it is.
Oh, look how gorgeous that looks.
It does look great. I've never opened up this box yet, right?
This is part of the test, right? Every time we do one of these CPU unboxing, it's the first time that we've opened the package and we see how challenging it is.
I guess there you go. So there is basically a little sticker here that we probably wanna. Let's figure this out here, guys. All right, so it would be nice to have like a little tab where you can pull it out, but it's actually not that bad. So there you go. Bam! Right. So we took the sticky stuff off, and now I should be able to just take the cardboard out. There's nothing on the inside here. There is a serial number, right? But it's actually pretty.
That actually looks kind of cool.
Turn into like a soccer ball or something.
I wish when you unfolded it that you could like put this up, like on your wall or something, because the shape's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So now we have here the same tab here. Right, or not a tab, but it's the same kind of sticker. I guess it's a security sticker, and it'll tell you if it was
somebody bought it at a store and tried to bin it and send it.
Right,
back.
Right, yeah. So it's actually pretty cool because you'll know. So if you're building your own system and you get this with the sticker off, you probably the focus is not that great. You're probably
if you just back up a tiny bit, it's you'll be there good you go. There. Yep. There's a sweet spot.
The sweet spot.
You get that creamy depth of field. We gotta have a shallow.
Yeah. All right. So I got the second sticker off. Oh God.
there's another sticker.
There's another sticker?
Yeah.
All right, so there's two stickers. See, my suggestion to Intel would be create like a little tab. No, actually just like a little tab where Apple does it really well.
Yeah.
Where there's like a little color tab where you can just pull on it and it's
you just gotta pull out like a machete.
Now there's no indication of how do I open this thing? This is kind of crazy. I really don't see. I mean, maybe you guys can see it on camera there. I don't see a how do I open it?
So I can guarantee that if you throw it at the wall, it will probably crack open. But I'd probably recommend not doing that.
This is reminding me. There's a QVC special where this guy had this really. Remember that? Yeah. What was it, like a flute or something? What was it? It was something really special. And this guy's unboxing this thing he's like playing with it on live television. It's the only thing of its kind or whatever. Yeah. And it all of a sudden the thing just blows up into smithereens. It was great. So maybe we can create one of those videos with this thing here.
I have faith in you, Wallace.
I'm honestly, I don't know if Intel's going to like this because I don't know where
that's
to
why
open
we
it.
Do this real. We actually had the same problem with a Ryzen, the original Threadripper package, and they kind of
squeeze it.
They kind of they added. They ended up adding like instructions to the last Ryzen, and it actually like helped fix the problem because it was like very clear.
All right, Ron.
Are we gonna take turns?
It's gonna be fantastic if we can't figure out how to unbox this thing on live, not television, but on the internet.
Okay. You know what? You know what's not helping? I don't have a reference point now for where the stickers were.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm assuming they're on joints.
The CPU sits flat when it's on the table.
Okay.
So it should. The
We're two adults that do this for a living. Okay, I'm starting to see the way that this snaps together on the inside. So the top comes apart from the bottom. We're doing some troubleshooting live on the air. So if I get my fingernail here, there we go.
Oh, Ron.
Okay.
Let's give him a round of applause.
I cracked it for you.
Thank you, Ron. There you go. In all its glory. Ron, you're a stud, man. You killed it. So
you know what it is? It's there's no grip on the package. If there was like a little indent on the top and the bottom, so you grab it like this and just open it.
Yeah, you would figure there would be some type of like little ridge or something where you can press against it and it would just pop open. But it's their first. It's Intel's first unique unboxing experience. They've never done this before, right? They're used to shipping CPUs in just this, right? So good first try. A little bit of a fail on the ease of unboxing.
I'm curious.
But nice. 12.
I'm curious now that I know how it goes apart. If I can like just do it again easily.
I like this. This is really nice. It's like almost like a Tiffany style box. Where it just, bam.
Yeah. I'm literally just going like this in front of the mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, so guys.
No, just.
No, I'm just gonna keep. Okay.
Just throw that thing aside.
Here we go.
Let's focus on the gold, right?
I'm just like beat red this whole stream from laughing.
So we that's the best part about the live stream. So Kenny Bell, are you guys gonna talk about the specific specs or is that NDA? It's not NDA. It's public information now. This is essentially Intel's answer to AMD's Ryzen 2, right? It's an 8-core processor. There's actually 8 more threads there, right? Yeah. So it's essentially you're gonna get a whole lot of computational horsepower for the money. It's not like a cheap processor, right?
It's more expensive than the previous flagship. Mainstream CPU,
but it's also clock for clock is faster. There's more cores. There's a new chipset that accompanies it.
So rough specs that you care. There's only really two things, probably three things you guys really care about, right? So, like you mentioned, 8 cores, 8 threads,
mm-hmm.
or 16 threads. Awesome. 5 gigahertz turbo, overclocking. You're going to be able to get all cores up to 5.
that magic five number is cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's actually, it makes a difference. Yeah.
And then the other thing that enthusiasts care about is it's STEM now. So they got rid of the, so Intel had switched at some point to like a thermal paste material underneath the heatsink between the die and the metal heatsink on the top. In order to get 8 cores and these high clock speeds, they've gone back to re-soldering the inside. So some enthusiasts in like the more moddy market would like take the top of the CPU off and replace it.
Yeah, so Ron's talking about the deleting process on a CPU. So the die is hidden behind this piece of metal here, right? This piece of copper here. So what you see, this is actually not the processor, right? The die is actually underneath this,
yeah,
this gray or silver part. And what he's saying is there's actually a thermal interface material,
right,
that transfers the heat from the die to the copper heatsink or heat spreader. And then you put more thermal paste on top of the heat spreader, which transfers the heat to your fan, and the fan dissipates the heat.
Exactly.
Right? So Intel last generation, they weren't soldering the tin.
They switched, I think it was 3 or 4 generations ago.
Yeah.
Maybe Sandy Bridge was the last time they did it for the mainstream stuff.
Don't quote us on that, but I think they held on to it for a little bit.
I can't remember. But either way, it's been a common thing enthusiasts have asked for, wanting it to be soldered again.
Yeah, because the 8700K, even at stock speeds, would run very hot because the heat wasn't transferring, right? The connectivity wasn't great.
There's
between the die and the lid.
There's two like negatives with it. One is that depending on how it's applied, it's not totally evenly making contact.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also it's a thicker material that doesn't have the same thermal transfer.
That's right.
So it's not as efficient. So I'm excited. Like it's something we've been asking for. I know you're on the Intel Board of Advisors.
Yep.
I know it's something you've pushed.
Yeah, yeah. So we just want, and it's more work to get. What is it called, STEM? Is that the new process for Intel to apply STEM to these processors? It's actually more work. It's a different process. They had to change everything back, and it's more efficient now. So the way the heat transfers to the lid, it's way more efficient because it's technically soldered, right? Versus just having some thermal paste in between. So it's just there's more direct contact between the lid and the actual die. So because of that, because they have a better thermal headroom now, they're able to clock it higher too. So not only did they add 2 more cores, which in a way introduces heat.
Oh, I mean, it right? absolutely introduces
it's the same surface area as before.
Right. So this is based on, and this is what's so cool about the CPU, right? So this is the first time I can remember Intel, or in a while, keeping the same process in place. So this is 14 nanometer,
mm-hmm.
And having such a big jump.
This is 14 nanometer plus, isn't it?
It's a slight variation of it.
It's like a tuned.
Yeah.
It's a more efficient.
But not shrinking the die.
Yeah.
And having such a generational change. And I apologize because we'll talk about performance after this, but it's impressive doing this. It's a crazy processor.
Right, right. It's pretty impressive. They did have to spin a new chipset, Z390, which gives the processor the extra energy or power that it needs, right? Because there is more power consumption now. But man, the clock speeds are amazing. The 2 extra cores closes that gap between AMD and Intel, right? And they surpassed it because now they have the clock efficiency over AMD. So
right.
Now no more core gap between both processors. And then you have the extra raw clock speed.
Yes.
Which is going to be better for gaming.
Yep. So the essentially the when you look at the performance numbers, it's healthy improvements in gaming. At 1080p. But for me, where this processor really shines is in multi-threaded workflows. And the perfect example that we usually give on stream is Intel calls this like a mega tasker, but like a content creator, right? So if you're playing a game and you're streaming, this is monster, the overhead that it gives you.
Yeah, you have cores to allocate to your stream now.
You can get up to like 40% better performance in heavily multi-threaded tasks. It is crazy. This CPU gets close to the 7900X, the 10-core, like pro, like extreme processor.
That's right.
Because the clock speeds are so high, and especially when you can overclock it to 5 gigahertz on all cores.
Right.
It's amazing the performance that you can get out of this, especially if you're doing, and it's not uncommon, right? So most of us are streaming on Twitch. Most of us are doing other things on the PC while we're gaming. That overhead is just amazing.
I mean, the game has changed, right? I mean, you're not just playing games anymore.
Absolutely.
Right. You're now a content creator as well. I mean, most of us are. Most of you guys watching this, you've probably streamed and gamed at the same time at one point or another if you're a gamer. And it's cool. So you need more CPU power for that.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Still do a channel versus, so if you want a quad channel, then you need to go to Intel's X299 chipset. Still do a channel. The PCI Express bandwidth is still by 16. It splits, right? It digitally splits into 2x8. So yeah. If you do dual RTX 2080s, it's going to be operating by 8 each slot. And but yeah, it's an amazing processor. It is slightly priced higher than in the previous generation, but it's now a Core i9, so it's not in the same class anymore. Anything else?
I think if you talk about the pricing, I think this bridges the gap really well, at least for me, between like the X299 platform and the Z390, because if you're just purely gaming, you don't need anything else. Like, you don't really have to get the 9900K. The 9700K with 8 cores and great clock speeds is going to, like, it's going to crush games. So this CPU is for the person that wants the best. So it's not like Intel removed options and like your only option is to get something that's more expensive. They came out with something that was even more powerful. Yes, it's a little bit more expensive, but if you're the person who needs that for your workflow, it's more than worth it.
There's a full product stack. So the performance scales according to how much you spend on the CPU, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, if you're building a new system, you want to look at the latest and greatest for your new computer, because you're making an investment. And if you can squeeze a little bit more, just squeeze and buy the best, because you won't regret it. And it'll last you longer. That's the reality. So good stuff. What else is in the box? Let's see. So the CPU is here. I'm not going to take the CPU out of the plastic because there's no need for that.
You don't want to get fingerprints and stuff all over that.
I guess this is foam, right? And there's installation instructions and limited 3-year warranty. So these processors have a 3-year warranty. There is an Intel overclocking warranty that you can purchase too, I believe. Yep. Mm-hmm. If you buy a Minger system, we warranty this. You know, if it's overclocked by us, we warranty it for the life of your warranty.
And they call it like performance tuning warranty or something.
Yeah.
Like
so
that.
If you're doing it yourself at home, you can buy the warranty. Basically what that means is if you fry your processor because you overvolted it, you're gonna exchange your processor and give you a new one.
I do highly recommend not overvolting your processor.
Well, that's part of the that's when you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And most people say, I want to hit, 5.5 gigahertz, how do I do that? And then you start just giving it more voltage, and voltage is essentially what kills the silicon, right? So that's what kills your processor. And a lot of times, just because the processor overclocks to a certain level with high voltage and it's stable,
no,
it doesn't mean it's going to last you, because it's going to degrade over time. So it's important to if you're going to do it yourself, to do a lot of reading, or if you're going to purchase an overclocked computer, I purchase from us because we know what we're doing.
Yeah, I think when I got started, I didn't actually overclock my first computer for the first 3 months I had it, because I just read forums and learned about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't want to invest the time into actually understanding the way that these things relate to each other and how to properly minimize the amount of voltage that you're using at certain clock speeds. I can't tell you, as a person who has now overclocked a lot, worked in this industry for a long time, how much bad advice there is on the internet when it comes to this stuff.
Oh, there's a ton of bad advice. Honestly, there's people that never built their system ever, and they're giving other people advice. And because you're reading on Reddit doesn't mean it's true.
Right? I should get that as a t-shirt.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. And always, man, always when you overclock, just try to hit better speeds without giving it more voltage to see where it can go, right? And if you could add a little bit more, and that's kind of where you want to stay. And then also keep temperatures in mind, right? So with our systems, the way we do it is we actually apply a lot more thermal headroom to the processor running stock. So we bring the temperatures down at default speeds.
Exactly.
And then we have that overhead now. We have that thermal headroom to play with, right? And then we overclock and volt and apply the proper voltages back to the Intel recommended temperatures. So we're not breaking records because we're warranting these computers, and we want to make sure it lasts. So it's all about the experience, not about...
And be quiet, and all those things are equally as important.
That's right.
An extra, you know, 100 megahertz isn't worth having a loud computer that's unstable.
I mean, and most of these guys are using it for gaming, and really it's not going to, you know, you're GPU bound when you're gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's another thing too. When we're talking about a gaming processor, it's really, you're really reliant on the GPU.
At 1080p, you're CPU driven. As soon as you bump to 1440p, you're not generally saturating the CPU.
Yeah.
There will be slight performance differences between the processors, but it's mostly the graphics card that you have.
That's right. That's right. And if you're gaming at 1080p, then you should probably not have a 9900K and an RTX.
Yeah. Oh, GPU. unless you're doing other stuff. Like, so if you're
professional gaming, that makes a difference.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, say you're still, like, you have a lot of productivity and creative stuff.
Yeah.
And you're gaming. I have like a very good non 4K IPS display. That's like Adobe sRGB, and I just haven't upgraded because I do a lot of like photo editing and stuff. So there's still a benefit to having the CPU if you're not like, if you're doing like a cross kind of workflow.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very excited about this. You read a lot of reviews and you see the term like performance monster. I think that's very accurate for what it is. And I'm just excited that we have. I'm excited by the energy that's happened with AMD's competitiveness and us seeing Intel do this stuff. And this back and forth, I think, is great for the consumers. And I'm sure, you'll see something from AMD at some point in the future that, you know, you'll keep seeing this kind of motion.
Competition is awesome, right? Yeah. If it wasn't, and let's be real, if it wasn't for AMD putting the squeeze, then we probably wouldn't have this today. And this is the world's best gaming processor. Look at that. Literally, it's the world's best gaming processor.
It really is.
And you guys can thank AMD partly for that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and by the way, 2700X, great buy, 8 cores as well. It's very competitive too, right? So you can make, now you have choices, and I think choices is very important for people.
Absolutely. So we had a couple other little stories for the week. Did you hear Winamp is back?
Kick the llama's ass.
So
is that the model? Yep.
You can go and download Winamp again. So we're probably dating ourselves slightly.
Why do we need to download Winamp?
That is a different question.
No, seriously, who's not streaming anymore?
So I have to be honest. I was so surprised. This news came out. And I saw a post on Facebook, and the person wrote, I'm so excited. I can finally stop using FUBAR and go back to using Winamp again. And I'm like, I could not believe that this was like a – I didn't know people still did that. So chat's asking what Winamp is.
Children.
When I was a kid.
Children.
When
Ron was a pirate. Ron used to be a pirate one day. He was not a pirate. When he was downloading from Napster.
I didn't use Napster.
You didn't use Napster?
No.
What'd you use? Like?
No, I never pirated anything.
You never did?
All the CDs I ripped myself.
I see you lying through your teeth right now. Look at that. Look at that beard. The beard's lying.
By the way, I think chat has started a Ron Reed beard fan club. They're suggesting They're suggesting we sell merchandise.
We should
have a beard oil that also acts as a thermal paste.
Mingir selling Ron's beard oil. That's great.
We'll spin that off.
Fantastic.
Winamp was like a classic audio player for when you had a folder just full of MP3s. You would drag it into Winamp. You'd have a giant list. Had all these like crazy themes that you could use. And it was the only application that you have like.
That would play MP3s like at one point.
500 MP3s in a list. You could individually play them through Windows Media Player, I think.
No, at one point, I don't think you could.
You might be right.
You had to download some codecs. Yeah. And then Winamp was the solution, right? And it was customizable, skinnable. It was cool. It was basically a much better Windows Media Player.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what Windows Media Player is? My God, that's nostalgia right there. That's crazy.
Mine at the time would have been filled with mostly music from Square RPGs, like Final Fantasy VII and stuff, because that was also what I was doing at the time.
But now it's apparently back.
Yeah, I included this because I just think it's funny.
Yeah. So I guess look, maybe it might be I haven't read about it, but it might be a better solution for high quality audio. I mean, who knows?
Probably not.
You know, for your FLAX. I don't like the way that sounds.
FLAC.
Do you download FLAX?
I guess I'll download it. I'll see. I don't have any plan. I don't like you. I use Google Music. I don't actually. I don't have a music library anymore. It's all what's ever in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
It made it so that I could listen to a lot more legally. It's inexpensive, so I get that some people still have their own music libraries. I feel like I heard Jake say this the other day at work. Like, those people are really only like people who are still stuck in iTunes that like have all this stuff that they purchased and
oh the Apple sheep.
Yeah.
Speaking of Apple sheep. Look what I have here, guys. I know I got a lot of criticism before from the boys because I had an iPhone. So now I have an Android as well. And it's actually an amazing phone. So this is the Note 9 from Samsung.
Can I see it for a second?
Yeah, it's
the
pen is fantastic in that thing.
So I have a Pixel. Here, I'll move it back. I have a Pixel 2. This is probably the nicest constructed phone from Android. Like it feels great in the hand.
Yep.
I love the pop. It's hard to see on camera. You can kind of see it at an angle. Like the color on this blue is amazing.
It looks good. It's constructed well.
It feels great.
It's the pen, when you pop that pen out and you're right on the screen, I don't know if the microphone will catch this, but basically you pop the pen out right here, right? And when you write, can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
So there's a synthetic sound that they make through the speakers. It makes it sound like you're writing with a pencil on paper. And that makes a huge, huge difference.
Yep.
That's the difference between it looking and sounding realistic and feeling realistic.
Well, it tricks your brain.
It's amazing.
You handed it to me and you're like, try the pen out. And I'm writing. And all I'm thinking like, why does this feel like paper? And then you told me, and I'm like, oh, my God.
It's synthetic noise.
Yeah.
It's actually, it makes you feel like you're writing a piece of paper, and it's amazing. Look at that. And it saved my scribble.
Now, my phone still takes better photos, but besides that.
Actually, the camera on this thing is pretty great.
It is great. I'm not, no knock
there's
specifically.
There's adjustable f-stop in here, man. You're the photographer here out of the two of us, but there's like a little, I don't know if you can catch it on the camera, but. There's like a little.
I wish we could take portrait mode images of each other like on stream and then display them.
Yeah, there's like a little tiny aperture sensor, I guess. Is that what it is?
It's the normal SLRs have like aperture blades that stop the lens down. So it basically allows the lens. So like a lens is like I'm watching the stream and it's just a bunch of us going like this, Wallace. So if the lens is a circle, the circle basically shrinks and that increases what's called depth of field, which is what's in focus. The reason when you see like a SLR photo that mm-hmm. you love it is because the depth of field's really short. If you look at like if you could switch to a close-up cam of, oh, no, there you go. So the smaller it gets, the more depth of field you have.
Sick. Unbelievable. And the fact that they made it move.
I want to do a quick, can you unlock it for me? I want to do quick.
And it has something similar to what Apple has for the face unlock, except it's using your iris.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's using, so you have to look into the sensor and the sensor unlocks based on.
So is there a.
Your eyeballs.
Is there a portrait mode?
There is definitely a portrait mode. The camera is really, really. Actually, the camera on that phone, there's more settings. There's more open settings on that camera than on your phone. And I don't know.
There is. Google kind of intentionally. I wish that they had made it fancier. I don't see a portrait mode here. There's panorama. There's pro mode. That sounds fancy. Auto. Maybe it's auto mode. And is there like a portrait button?
Somebody said, finally, something endorsed by Stefano. That's great. I'm glad you like it, Stefano.
This is really cool. Although I cannot find what the portrait mode is called. Jack, if you could tell me. I wanted to do a quick comparison. I was genuinely curious. But it seems to be like impossible to figure out, so I've given up.
It's a good phone. The software feels much better than previous Samsung.
They've slimmed down a lot of the stuff that they put into it.
I'm not a huge fan of Bixby, but it does extra things that Google's voice assistant does not. So it's kind of weird. Like some things it excels, some things it's worse. So it's almost like between Bixby and Siri and Google Assistant. Each have its own weaknesses and strengths. And so it's pretty great phone, man. And just it feels good. It just feels like a solid device. So yeah, I'll rock both. You know, it's always good to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. The one thing I will say as a photographer that I like the Samsung images better than the iPhone just because the color.
It pops a little bit more? Apple, or is it more neutral?
It's more accurate. Apple's like colors are like very weird.
I feel like Apple's are a little bit more natural to me. See, that's weird.
It depends on the light.
The photographer, right?
It's also so like very mixed lighting.
You're the photographer in there, so I'll take your opinion over mine.
But I'm very impressed with.
And that new Pixel 3, the photos on that thing looks crazy too.
Yeah.
So I mean, phones now. I mean, we're having this discussion before. It's like when will the time come where we just don't need a DSLR anymore?
The thing that's interesting to me is what I really, really wish is I wish that like Google would make. So Google had bought I can't remember the name of the company. They had bought like a photo editing software that a lot of professional photographers use, and they kind of killed it and sold it, and it's coming back. But what I wish that Google would do is I would love like a Adobe Lightroom AI plugin. I would pay for it.
Yeah.
That like could analyze my RAW files. And like suggest edits and do that kind of stuff.
I don't want to edit anything.
I just want
it to look great.
I spent like a week setting it up so that I can now access my Lightroom library on my phone.
Yeah. How is that? Is that the new Adobe
thing that was released last week? They did some updates. So now I can access my RAW files on my phone. I can sync all my Lightroom presets to my phone and profiles.
Wow.
And then the edits sync back to my Lightroom library at home.
What? So it's in the cloud. Now you can just access the stuff back at home and finish working on the photo there.
It works surprisingly well. I'm actually pretty impressed.
Impressive.
Yeah. Adobe's doing a pretty good job with that stuff.
And Adobe also released a creative suite for the creator.
Oh, yeah. They.
What's the proper name for it?
Yeah. So Adobe announced. Oh, Sean said I need to unbox the 2080 Ti. I'm gonna do that as I'm sitting here and talking.
Let's do it.
So Adobe announced a new, don't have enough room.
Let me make some space here for you.
Adobe announced a new video editing application called Premiere Rush. So Premier Rush. Actually, let me open this up first. So first thing,
brand new box.
First thing I will say is this feels perfect. There's that like vacuum sealed kind of thing where it just feels. Oh, let me. There we go.
Does it feel good?
I just can't
Ron?
See chat. So this, it just got that resistance that you kind of
the want Tiffany
out of it.
It's like the Apple. I think Apple is really the company that kind of revolutionized the unboxing. But it's like the Tiffany style. They call this the Tiffany style unboxing. It's Tiffany's and Apple.
So I like that the presentation.
I like the smell.
Yeah. Mm. The presentation on this is like just super clean. Like the box is very simple. You just got the card inside. They have a I thought that they had, oh, maybe there's no actual other packaging. Oh, no. So then they also have like a slide-out little box that has, this looks, and this, even just this, looks like super clean.
Look how neat that dongle is.
Pull it back.
Look at that.
That's a sentence I thought I would never hear.
The dongle?
No, look how neat that dongle is.
Look how neat the dongle is.
It comes with like a little, just a little pamphlet.
Is that the
quick
warranty?
Start guide.
Is that the warranty quick start?
There's
guide?
A support guide and a quick start, but it's the presentation, right? So this just looks like really beautiful.
Yeah, it looks good.
Man. And then I'm not gonna open this card up.
You guys want the boxes for real? Yeah, we'll give you a box. You gotta come pick it up though, cause I'm not. I refuse to ship an empty box.
To
anyone.
And then
if you're local, you want to pick up the box, come by.
We've showed these off on stream before, but Brent, if you can cut to the close-up cam, just like the, just the quality of this card, the machining, the back plate.
Brent keeps on giggling back there. It's probably reading the comments. Like, what the heck?
Is it just like?
Telling you to get the graphics card out of the way
because
they can't see the beard.
they want, so the chat
okay,
wants.
I can hold it up here.
The chat wants the card to go away so they can see Ron's beard.
It's gorgeous though.
You guys are hilarious.
I don't want to drop this tomorrow. Cool. So there was a tiny couple other news items. One which I just wanted to mention because he was kind of close to our hearts. Total Biscuit is getting inducted into ESL's Esports Hall of Fame. He's the first non-esports athlete that's getting inducted.
I think his wife is still running the Twitter account, right?
Jenna. And I just wanted to mention that just because it was someone that we were both close with and wanted to kind of shout that out. Valve introduced a new motion smoothing for VR, designed to basically give better experiences on lower end GPUs. What it does is it figures out when your graphics card would drop a frame, basically like when you'd have a dip.
Right.
And then it interpolates a new frame and makes it out of like thin air and kind of like puts it into the.
Why can't they apply that to non VR applications as well? Right? Think about it. It would make sense.
It would make sense now that you say that out loud. Yeah.
Right? So the deal with VR for the people who don't know is VR can easily introduce motion sickness.
Very easily.
Based on dropped frames. So it's almost like your brain gets tricked, right, into thinking that you're in the real world situation when you have a headset and it's blocking everything out, right? So if there's a skip frame in real life, there's no skip frames. In real life, it's what is it? What's the human eye? Is it 24 frames per second? Is the or 60?
I think it can't see past 60. I don't know if we have a measurement for exactly.
What I'm
it
not
is.
Sure what the real life
thing. Things look better. Like 24 is like the cinematic, or 23.9 or whatever is the cinematic. It makes things look more cinematic.
Yeah.
60 makes things more lifelike.
That's right.
Basically.
So, if you use a lower end GPU, you get skip frames or you get a frame dip. And if that happens while you're in a game, it makes you sick.
Yeah.
And it's hence the recommendation to always use a higher end GPU for VR. And, you know, I think 2 years ago, it's when it, you know, VR was the hot topic.
With the everybody 10 series, was buying, 10 series launch originally.
Yeah, 1070s and higher at the time, yeah. So Valve introduced this technology that basically smoothing things out so you don't get sick.
And it will help with higher end GPUs as well, because any random latency that you kind of run into.
Isn't that in the way what DLSS, I always forget the...
Yeah, the DLSS is kind of a...
Isn't...
A little bit of a similar concept, but for super sampling. So that's basically to make the frame that it's rendering look better.
Yeah, that's right.
And what else? Not much other news. There was a Discord launched free games through the... and you can now import games into Discord. Like, Discord's going to become this like gaming monster. Well, not, I mean, they already are. So the global beta for the store is live. I think there's some free games in there.
I honestly feel that this is something that GameStop could have done a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right? No, they were totally. Like the gaming content, or not content, the gaming kings at one point. They should have just done what Discord's doing.
The only difference I would say is that people love Discord. GameStop's always been like
controversial,
a little bit of a love-hate kind of thing, because some people are upset.
Because they give you $5 for a game and sell it for 50?
Yeah. Discord is kind of like, gamers already love it.
I love their videos, dude. So I love the Discord videos. It's fantastic.
I can't look away.
Yeah, it's just so like, what is that jiggly thing over there? That's great.
But that's pretty cool. And then there was one other bit of sad news, which is Paul Allen passed away this week.
He changed the world.
Yep.
Right? Between him and Billy.
He was the co-founder of Microsoft. Yeah. He had a
young too, 65, I think.
Somewhere in that range. Yeah. He had cancer and he passed away.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like a, you know, just a sad thing for the tech industry. Just the fingerprint they left on everything that we do today.
He did a lot. He did a lot besides Microsoft. He's also the team owner for the Seahawks. I mean, he's the philanthropy that he did and everything else. It's definitely a loss.
Yep.
So
on that note, sad note, I think we're going to end the stream today.
I think we're ending the stream today. Yeah. So thank you very much for tuning in. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend, and looking forward to catching y'all next week.
Yep. Make sure to follow us. Oh. Follow
us, baby.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Mixer, Periscope.
Just look for Mingear. Look for Ron. Look for Wallace. Look for us everywhere.
At Mingear everywhere. If you're looking to order 2070 or 9900K, make sure to check out our Halloween promotion. And also thank you to NVIDIA for powering our live stream. Make sure also to tune in next week. I believe we were supposed to do it this week. Things just kind of got busy. But we're going to do like a Call of Duty live stream.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you get Call of Duty with 9900K.
Oh, and we're going to post this in chat, Brent. I'm sorry for not telling you. So we have only like 24 hours left. We're giving away 3 copies of Call of Duty with our good friend DZ Live. I would read you the URL. Oh, actually, I think I need
If you guys want to follow a great streamer, check out DZ. He's fantastic. Very professional.
Brent, is there a Bitly link on Twitter? Double check for me, because it's something I should be able to read out loud. Come on, Brent. Pressure. Can you do it?
When you're streaming 5 plays, the internet gets really slow.
Okay. So it's bit.ly, so bit.ly, and then it's 2ejnkx2. We're going to post this link in chat. We're giving away with DZ 3 copies of Call of Duty, 5 Mingear swag packs, which are going to be like a t-shirt, hat, some stickers.
It's the hat that you cannot purchase, by the way.
Yeah, the exclusive.
It's a really nice hat.
Live stream.
You guys
only
want that hat. Trust me. It's a dope hat.
It's Gleam, so you just have to... there's like 8 different ways to enter.
Enter your social security, credit card, and date of birth. And your address. And then we'll...
You email those personally to...
Just kidding.
But make sure to do that. I forgot to mention that at the top of the stream. And check out DZ. He's been streaming on a Mingear F131. He's been streaming Call of Duty. It's been a lot of fun. I was hanging out in his chat last Saturday, kind of talking with his fans. So I highly recommend checking it out. I don't know if he's still in chat or not, but he was in chat. Okay, he's on Twitch. So love you too, DZ. So definitely click that link, enter the contest. And I think that's it. We hope you guys have a great weekend gaming, hopefully playing Call of Duty. And that's it.
All right, guys. Peace out, everybody.
Later.